Welcome to the Survive to Thrive Radio Network at www.survive2thrive.net. Times are getting tough for most of us, and being prepared has never been more important. All of our hosts strive to keep you well informed so that you can achieve optimum health in all areas of your life. If you feel that the shows and website are informative, please share this information with your friends and family. If you would like to see certain topics covered, please let us know. Join us on Facebook to help spread the word. You can find the link at the bottom right of the Survive to Thrive homepage. Enter Health Botanicals is the sole sponsor for this network, providing you not only with important information, but also with highly effective products that produce real results, such as Enter Food, Coconut Milk Powder, Liver Cleanse, Coco Mojo, Silymarin, NutriCafe, and introducing the new 40-day, 40-night Organic Preparedness Pail. A preparedness supply unlike any other on the market today. Supporting Enter Health supports both this network and your own health. Without good health, we go nowhere. Go to survivetothrive.net and click on the Enter Health banner on the top right for automatic discounts, or call them at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. You can also go to their website at www.enerfood.com. That's E-N-E-R-F like Frank, O-O-D like dog.com. Enerfood.com. A big thank you to all of our listeners already taking the products that Enter Health offers. We truly appreciate it. We thank you for your support and encourage you to listen often to stay informed during these crucial times.
Well, hello, 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 my friends. You're listening to the Watchman's Cry program here on the Survive to Thrive Network. My name is Nathan Leal, and today is Tuesday, August 30th, 2011, the year of our Lord. As we gather together today in the aftermath of earthquakes, hurricanes, flooding, and earth changes, it is very important that we continue in our vigilance, my friends. It is very important that we maintain and nourish our walk with Jesus, our Messiah. It's very important that we obtain a constant resupply of oil for our lamps so that we can see the path that is before us. My friends, the perilous times that we have read about in our earlier years are arriving. And this program is not to debate the validity of the present hour. It's here, folks. And I believe from here on out, the narrative for our lives will be we are either ready or we're not. Folks, I want to be ready. And I'm just like you. I get scared. I wonder about things. I feel pain. I have a family. I have children that I wonder about. I get stressed out. I experience heartache. And when I preach about our spiritual challenge, it applies to all of us. Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? My friends, God can nourish your faith. He can restore. He can strengthen. And he can give us peace. And these are some of his benefits. And it's vital that we get a hold of them right now. Why? Because of the things that we talk about on this program. And this is the purpose of this program. We talk about why. My friends, why is on the world's headlines right now? Why happened over the weekend to North Carolina and Vermont and other areas that are now flooded over? Great events are looming. And some of these warning events have already arrived. The shot over the bow. God has sent us signs and signals that it is time to be awakened. And folks, perilous times are approaching. And when they arrive, which side will you be on? Will you still be in the valley of decision thinking about it? Folks, the time to procrastinate has left the building a long time ago. The time to be active is now. And I'm not here just to scare you, but I'm going to tell you the truth, folks. Jesus said, watch and pray. And as I watch the horizon, there are many things happening that as they arrive are going to affect us. They're going to affect your life and my life. This is why I talk about them. This is why I need to talk about them. So, on this program, we do visit the present events that are happening. We visit the earth changes. We visit all of the signs that God has placed in the heavens before us so that those that are awake, those that are vigilant, will be able to do the preparations that they're supposed to be doing. And here today to help me discuss recent events is my Christian brother and my friend, Rick Wiles of True News. Most of you know him. For most of you, he doesn't need an introduction, but Rick, are you there?
Hey, Nathan. How are you tonight?
Good, Rick. Rick, I want to just thank you for this last minute thing. You were on my mind and on my heart, and I decided to call you because I just wanted to talk about the recent events that have gone over on the weekend. So welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's worked out fine. I'm still in the office here in Vero Beach, and I'm going to tell you, Nathan, it's the perfect timing because you told me this would start at 7 p.m., and I told you I'd be here in the studio. I forgot that we were sending tonight's True News program to Blog Talk Radio, and when I walked into the studio to get ready for this interview with you, I realized the lines were tied up. The studio was tied up with the transmission. Nathan, I looked at the clock, and it was 6:55, and I looked at the remaining time in the transmission of our program to Blog Talk Radio, and it said 5 minutes.
Wow.
And it ended precisely at 7 p.m., and you called. And so it's perfect timing, and I believe
God's always on time, isn't he, Rick?
Yes, he is, and I believe God has ordained this this time for us to get together. So, you know, I think what we ought to do is you and I should just have a conversation like you and I have from time to time in private on the telephone, and just let's just talk as we normally do as brothers.
Okay, Rick, let's do that. But for those that it would be a miracle if they didn't know, but for those that might not, can you just give a quick summary of your ministry and your website, True News?
Sure. True News is a one-hour nightly newscast, Monday through Friday. We've been broadcasting since 1999, and it is a format of current international news. I call it industrial strength news, plus interviews with major newsmakers from around the world. It's amazing the guests that we've had over 12 years, and then also spiritual inspiration. Our focus, Nathan, as you know, I don't want the focus to be on the negative news headlines, but the focus needs to always be on where we are going. And where we are going is to New Jerusalem. That's the prize. Keep the prize before your eyes. New Jerusalem. God is coming to live with us. And that is the most wonderful gift and promise that we could have as human beings, to think about the creator of the universe actually moves his place to us. That's what the Bible says in Revelation. New Jerusalem comes down. The Bible says he dwells with us. He tabernacles with us. It's an awesome promise from the Lord. And that's the end game. That's where we're headed. Now, what we've got to go through to get there, it ain't going to be pretty, Nathan. But the only way you and I and everyone listening to us, the only way we will get through it is if we keep our eyes on the prize. Because if you understand New Jerusalem, what it means, the beauty of New Jerusalem, eternal dwelling with God the Creator, if you understand it, you'll be able to go through anything that happens on this earth, even if it costs you your life. Because it can cost you your life. How long are you going to be dead? A millisecond? I mean,
amen.
They can't do anything to us, Nathan. I see the stuff you and I talk about, it excites me. I mean, what excites me is that Jesus Christ is coming. I don't get scared about this stuff. I get motivated. It's like, wow, we got to get the job done. We got to get up and move and get the job done. What's the job? Preach the gospel in all the world to every tribe and nation. Then shall the end come.
Amen.
The end's not coming, Nathan, until we preach the gospel.
I was just writing down some notes when you were talking, and I was going to ask you my next question. You know, Rick, sometimes this news can scare some people, but doesn't this news motivate you? And then you said it motivates you, so amen.
It does. Amen. I just, you know, I mean, I don't thrive on bad news. I thrive on the promise of God. I know Jesus Christ is coming back, and Yeah, and like I said, there's going to be some really turbulent time. Jesus said it will be unlike anything that's ever happened on the planet from the beginning of time. And that if God doesn't shorten the days, no flesh would survive.
Are we in the prologue right now or chapter one? Because if this is just the very beginning, Rick, we better strap our seatbelts on. And that's why we need to know about it, is because we need to have his strength.
That's right. I mean, we're definitely, I mean, these are birth pangs. These are labor pains. How long it goes, we don't know. But we know any woman who's had a child, any husband who has been through childbirth, know that the birth pangs start. And as the time goes by, the labor pains increase in frequency and in intensity until the birth arrives, until the child arrives. And so that tells me that from here on until Jesus Christ comes back, the birth pains increase in intensity and in frequency. So this, we're never going to go back to what we used to think was normal, Nathan. Never, ever. Not going to happen. It's going to get stranger and weirder by the week.
And by saying that, Rick, oh boy, it seems that every single week that goes by, there's weird news, weird events happening around the world.
It's so bizarre. It's like I couldn't make this stuff up if I tried.
Hollywood couldn't make a movie as interesting.
I know it's bizarre. I mean, this everything is going on is bizarre. If these things had happened 20 years ago, people probably would have lost their minds.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about some of these bizarre things, Rick. I have a few notes right here. Let's start with what happened last week, and then we'll just move forward over the weekend, and then we'll talk about some of the events happening presently. But last week, we had that earthquake in Washington. And, you know, Rick, God, to those that are wise and have their eyes open, can see the signs and the mileposts and the markers and the signals that he tries to place in front of us. Let's talk about what happened in Washington with the monument and the earthquake last week.
Okay. Well, first of all, it wasn't supposed to happen, was it? There's not supposed to be major earthquakes under Washington, D.C. This is a new one. They've never had anything like that. I grew up in Maryland, never had an earthquake that I remember, certainly not a magnitude 5.8. And, oh, by the way, I can tell you, Nathan, that, you know, scientists have discovered the fault line beneath Washington, D.C. You know, in California, we've got the San Andreas Fault, and then in Illinois and Missouri, there's the New Madrid Fault. They discovered that under Washington, D.C., it's Obama's fault. All right. That's what they're calling it. All right.
Uh-huh.
No, seriously. You're not supposed to have earthquakes in Washington, D.C. So that the fact that we had a major quake is very unusual. I still have family in Maryland. They live about 80 miles from Washington, D.C. I talked to my sister over the weekend, and she was telling me, you know, how weird it was with the earthquake, the ground shaking, her legs becoming rubbery, you know, the rumbling. You know, it flipped her out. And she said it was a major event. Everybody heard it. Everybody felt it. And so this is an unusual event. The fact that Washington, D.C. rumbled and the Washington Monument was damaged and cracked, the Treasury Building was damaged, this is a warning sign to the elite. This is a warning sign to the powerful and the wealthy. My first thought, Nathan, about the Washington's monument is, I mean, I know a lot of people were just aghast that this patriotic monument had been damaged, and thought of it not being there was a shocking thought to people. But let's keep in mind that the cornerstone was laid by the Masons.
Mm-hmm.
And many people believe that the monument is a phallic symbol. It is a monument to the Egyptian sun god Ra.
An obelisk.
Yes, these obelisks are all over the world. And so you look at the Washington Monument, and it's identical to other obelisks all over the world, which were built to Ra, the Egyptian sun god. Well, I believe God is shaking Washington, D.C., and I believe the earthquake was a warning of the shaking that's coming to the federal government of the USA. Right now, after this quake, Nathan, I wouldn't rule out the possibility that Washington, D.C. crumbles to the ground.
Wow.
On the scale of Port-au-Prince, Haiti. I've been to Port-au-Prince a number of times, Nathan, and I've seen the government buildings. And I'll tell you this, that earthquake fault literally zigzagged around on the island. It was like it was on a hunt for government buildings. You can drive down the streets of Port-au-Prince and look at the damage. And that thing went after government buildings. It brought down the United Nations building. Several hundred UN people died. It brought down the White House of Haiti. It brought down many of their buildings, their government buildings. And I've stood in front of the presidential palace in Port-au-Prince. It's an eerie sight, Nathan. It's a massive white building with the pillars. And the presidential palace has caved in, in the middle. It's buckled in the middle. The pillars have fallen down. It is a very strange, bizarre sight to stand there and realize that the center of power of a nation that houses the president of a nation, it collapsed in seconds. And now, after this earthquake in Washington, D.C., I don't rule out the possibility that the White House collapses and the Capitol collapses, even the Pentagon collapsing.
And if that happens, will it be a coincidence, or is there someone else involved in this, right?
What do you mean?
Is it a divine thing, or is it just a coincidence that nature did?
I think it's a divine thing. I think God is going to shake every nation on this planet.
Amen. Isn't it interesting, Rick, that the United States proudly and boldly proclaimed they wanted the spirit of Anubis to come up New York Harbor and march around the country and proclaim and pronounce death upon this nation, and now here we are a few years later. You remember that statue?
Oh, that, yeah. Anubis forgot statue. About that. That was a weird one. I forgot about that.
Yeah. The God of Death.
The Statue of Liberty. There's another example. I know it's the most revered patriotic monument in America, but it's a Freemason monument. It's a goddess.
So one by one, the kingdoms of this world are going to be crushed, aren't they, by Jesus?
Idols will fall. Going back to Haiti, this is an interesting fact. There is a monument in Port-au-Prince to voodoo. Downtown, near the presidential palace, there is a tall monument to voodoo, and it did not fall, Nathan. Now, isn't that odd? And I prayed about it, and I said, Lord, why? You pulled down their government buildings, you crushed a UN building, you destroyed the presidential palace, you rocked the whole nation, but you allowed that voodoo monument to stand. And I'll tell you what I believe the Lord told me.
What's that?
He wants the Christians of Haiti to pull it down. He wants to see the Haitian people reject Lucifer. He's not going to do it for them. And likewise here, Nathan, the American people are going to have to reject Lucifer. They're going to have to embrace Yahweh, the God of Israel, and his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. There's going to have to be a conscious acknowledgement of his lordship over this nation. God may shake America, but he's not going to make America love him.
It's going to start with our hearts. It has to start with revival and solemn assemblies and people coming to terms with what time it is, isn't it?
That's right.
So the voices, God's raising up and recruiting an army of voices that aren't traditional right now, Rick. They're not behind pulpits, but he's raising up his army. He's faithful. He always does it. They've always shown up.
He always has a people who will not bow their knee to Baal.
Amen. Okay, so we had this earthquake. Well, I just want to ask you about your thoughts. I haven't had a chance to do a lot of research on this, but I get emails from a lot of listeners, Rick, and I'm sure you do too. There's some thoughts that there have been some clandestine activity going on with this earthquake under Washington. And do you have any thoughts on that?
None. I don't know anything about it. It would just be wild speculation. And I honestly don't know. I don't see it that way. I see the hand of God shaking the nation. And I think it's dangerous, Nathan. Too many Christians run down the road of conspiracies, and they don't consider that Almighty God is speaking to the nation.
He's strong enough to do it himself with his fingertip.
He doesn't need a conspiracy to do something. He can do it all by himself. And you know what? When God shakes a nation, everybody knows who did it.
Amen. Okay, now over the weekend, Rick, we had a hurricane. Hurricane Irene came and went. Hurricane was legitimate, levels 2 and then down to 1. I believe it was in the Carolinas, Vermont, Virginia's, and all, they got hit pretty hard. But the thing that strikes me as odd, and I've just been doing a lot of thinking and contemplating about this, was how the whole thing was treated with New York in regards to New York City and Manhattan. What are your thoughts on that? Because we saw a great mass evacuation. We saw there was a lot of things that didn't happen. And I just, Rick, I don't like to be suspicious, but they've proven that they need to be held in suspicion because a lot of times they're up to some things, you know?
Well, my perspective is a little bit different here, being in Florida. You're in...
I'm in Idaho.
You're in Idaho. You don't get too many hurricanes there. So we were watching that baby real close as it came through the islands up by the Bahamas, you know, and it was a Category 3 at one point. And I looked at the radar map one day, and that dude was really, really close to the Florida coast. I kept saying to everyone, you know, we're just assuming that the forecasters are correct. It's going to make a right turn. What if it makes a left turn? We're in trouble, you know, because we don't have time to get out of here. Category 3. But anyhow, Nathan, I'll tell you this. I think it was Monday night when this thing was really headed towards the coast. And I was watching the Weather Channel and other television channels. They were talking about it. And they were talking about the size of this thing and what it had already done in various islands. And obviously there was a degree of apprehension in our home. It's like, okay, we got to make a decision. And I told Susan, I said, look, we're going to watch it very close. On Wednesday, we will make a decision. And if it's coming this way by Wednesday night, Thursday morning, we got to be hoofing it out of here, because they were saying it would be here Thursday night. And I was text messaging my son and daughter-in-law and my daughter and son-in-law. And I mean, I was giving them weather reports. I was saying, hey, heads up, folks, here it comes. You know, this is not looking good. And I was just concerned for my family. But I got to tell you, Nathan, is that later that night, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, son, you can relax. It's not going to hit Florida. It's going up towards New York. I heard that in my spirit. So I knew, and I told Susan the next morning, I said, look, it's not coming this direction. It's going to go. Holy Spirit told me it's going to make a turn. It's going to go up the coast. Well, now that's a different issue than what you're asking, because the news media definitely hyped it. I mean, they made it sound like New York City was going to, you know, be gurgling underwater.
I saw the simulations. It was deep water in Manhattan, Rick.
Oh yeah. Oh, I'm telling you what, they were driving it. Now, okay, what was the motive, Nathan? That's the part where this gets hard to discern, because it could be they just wanted ratings. They wanted to sell advertising. Markets are tight right now. It's hard selling anything. Maybe that's all it was. Let's just get ratings. Let's have eyeballs glued to the TV sets, you know? Was there another motive? That I don't know. What do you think? What would be the motive in making people think it was going to be worse than it was?
Okay, let me state what I think the end game is going to be, and then I'm going to go backwards from there. The end game, I believe, is that Obama has some of his lowest ratings ever. He doesn't seem concerned. He rides his little bicycle around with his little helmet with his daughter with a silly grin on his face. He doesn't seem the least bit concerned over what's happening with what history is going to say about him. And when I see the way he acts and the way he carries himself, I have to wonder, is he up to something? Is there something else up his sleeve? Does he have the surprise is coming and it's going to turn his ratings and approval ratings around? And if that's the case, is it going to be a false flag? And then I go backwards from there. If it is a false flag, well, we saw 9/11 happen almost 10 years ago this coming September. Is there something planned? And when I saw Mayor Bloomberg say on Saturday, it was in the evening, he had all the cameramen around him. He was giving a press report and he talked about how it was so scary and the doom was coming to New York. And Rick, I saw the satellite image of the hurricane as it approached New York, and I'm from Texas. I know what a hurricane is supposed to look like. It's supposed to look like a nice little buzzsaw spinning counterclockwise. Well, on the satellite image, it looked like someone took a giant knife and went right across and cut it in half, and the bottom part was missing. It was no longer a visible hurricane. There was no eye. So I'm looking at this thing, and then I'm wondering, okay, and the water temperature is getting cooler as it goes north. I know from living in the south, a hurricane needs warmer water. So it's going to have cooler water, meaning it's going to get weaker. So why is he saying this? And then he went on to tell everybody, mass evacuation, it's going to be mandatory, you don't have a choice. So now I'm picturing this, Rick, and maybe it's the suspicious part of my brain. You have Manhattan that's evacuated, nobody's around, and then Mayor Bloomberg said, we're going to cut the power off to Manhattan. So now I'm picturing all these buildings, no one's around, there's no power. What are they doing in the subway with no power? They're going to keep the general public out of the subways for several days. If they already knew, ladies and gentlemen, on the second half, we're going to continue talking about this, and we're also going to talk about the drumbeats of war in the Middle East and the coming dollar collapse. We'll see you in a few minutes.
With natural and man-made disasters and economic turmoil, if we don't get well prepared, we will most certainly regret it. Good readiness must include storage of high-quality food that will build us up rather than tear us down. Much of the storable food available is full of bad fats, salt, sugar, nutrient-poor refined foods, and even MSG. In response, EnerHealth Botanicals has created our 40-day and 40-night 100% organic preparedness pail. It's GMO-free and has a 10 to 20-year shelf life if stored at 60 degrees or less. Some of the items need cooking, some can be eaten dry, while some can be soaked and sprouted. These are selling out fast at 1/3 the price of storable food packages. Call us at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. Or go to enerfood.com, E-N-E-R-F-O-O-D.com. 866-762-9238. Or go to E-N-E-R-F-O-O-D.com.
Welcome back, folks. Nathan Liao here. The website is watchmanscry.com. Today is Tuesday, August 30th, 2011, the year of our Lord. And before the break, we were talking with our guest, Rick Wiles from True News, and I was discussing, and him and I were talking about the events of the hurricane when it did not seem to show up in its intensity in Manhattan. And Rick, I was talking about how my suspicious mind wondered about the opportunity, because I could see a great Hollywood movie coming out of that. Rick, imagine Manhattan abandoned, all the opportunities there.
Well, you know, Nathan, it's very similar to something that happened in New York City before the weekend before 9/11, and I don't recall the man's name. You know, so much of the stuff over the years. There was a gentleman, I believe, I want to say he perhaps was in the IT industry, information technology industry. Anyhow, he said that the building that he worked in, which was close to the World Trade Center, that the power went off on the Saturday before the attacks. And he went in, you know, he described some very unusual things that happened in that major building that didn't make sense. And I recall reading that article many years ago. So, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility that such a thing would happen. And also years ago, I was given a tip by a listener who has a lot of business contacts who, those business people are former U.S. military special forces guys, and, you know, they're in private business now, private practice, you know. I think they call those mercenaries. But anyhow, this is 5, 6, 7 years ago, and he had a discussion with a guy who said the power would go out in Washington, and a device would be placed under the Capitol involving the tunnels that connect the Capitol, you know, in the various government buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And when this man was telling me this on the phone, I said, whoa, are you aware that the power went out today? And he goes, no. I said, no, let me read the story to you. And there was a blackout in the U.S. Capitol that day. And then there was a letter signed by a large number of employees of the United States Capitol Architect, the architect of the Capitol. I forget, his title, but he's in charge of all the tunnels beneath the government buildings. And there was a letter to that official by the employees. You know, these are the guys that are down below the ground working in the tunnels, doing maintenance and, electrical work and plumbing and AC and everything. And they said they were disturbed by the appearance of unknown individuals traveling through the tunnels. And wow. They wanted to bring this to the attention of the architect of the Capitol and to the U.S. Congress. I read this letter on the program, again, it was maybe 5-6 years ago. So, Nathan, I mean, your theory is very plausible. I mean, something like this could happen. The general public doesn't think like this. That's why they can get away with it.
Right. Well, Rick, let me share something else, and then I want to ask you your thoughts. Now, I don't know how much you're able to share from some of the tips that you get, because sometimes things need to be held in high regard and confidence for safety, security, et cetera. But I believe that there are some things that are going to be happening this fall. I don't know what all they are. I've heard a lot of different categories. I get a lot of emails from people. I talk to people on the phone. As you know, a few weeks ago, I had a dream of an attack on Hawaii. And then I also had included in that a missile hit Spokane, Washington, and the attack from Hawaii was also from a missile. Well, last night, Rick, I had another one, and I believe you were the first one I told in the entire world just before we went on the air. I just want to share it just briefly. I haven't had a chance to think about it a lot, but I'm just going to share the basics of it, and this is what it was, Rick. I was in some sort of factory-type building. It was a building that was probably 3 to 4 stories tall. And you know those factory buildings that have all the girders and ironwork, et cetera, catwalks. It was a building like that. And I was pretty high up, maybe on the 3rd floor, looking out of those dirty, greasy windows that you would see in those factory buildings. I was in New York City in this factory building, Rick. I don't know which part I was in, but it was New York. I knew in the dream I was in New York. And as I was looking out the window, I saw an explosion, another one, and there was a mushroom cloud. And my wife was next to me, and I immediately wanted to go to low ground because I didn't know what the effects were going to be. But here's the weird thing about this explosion. The blast didn't destroy the building I was in, and I don't know why. I don't know if it was because I was just glimpsing through some shadowed mirror or some lens in the spirit or something. I don't know, Rick. But it looked like a nuclear explosion because in my dream it had the mushroom cloud. It was very big. So I saw this happen last night in New York, and then now, considering what went on over the weekend and then some of the rumors that we're hearing that an event is going to be coming this fall, I don't know, Rick. I'm just wondering, because we know that there are rogue elements within our domestic government that would do some crazy things, and they would sacrifice human beings to the altar of the New World Order to get their plan really going. So that's what I'm suspicious of. Hitler did it, and we have leaders that have done it in the past, so humans haven't advanced that well where they do not think in evil ways now. So.
It's possible, Nathan, that the reason that you didn't sense a blast in the dream is that that was to signify that this is a dirty bomb. And
wow.
the purpose of the bomb is to spread radiation. That's a real possibility. That's the first thing that came to my mind. Let's go down the list of things that you and I have been told privately. I don't know how much you have shared on your program. I have shared some of it in recent months without giving out sources. You called me in the early part of this year, January, February, and you told me that a mutual friend, a person that we both know, who is in the financial services industry on the West Coast, had a friend who worked for the Federal Reserve.
Right.
And he was told that some bizarre things were going on at the regional Federal Reserve banks, that senior managers were told to telecommute, don't work out of the office, work from your home, and stockpile 6 months of food and supplies. Okay, fast forward to June, and I received a phone call from an American who lives outside of the USA. And the reason he lives outside of the USA, he told me, was for two reasons. Because of his wife's dreams and because of what he hears on True News. And so they had decided to get their family out of the country. He's a businessman and former military officer, and he had a similar story. He told me that he has a friend who works for the Federal Reserve. Now, this is June, and this was a different branch of the Federal Reserve. And this, his friend told him the same thing. Senior managers were instructed to telecommute, stockpile food and water, and both of these sources said that the regular security had been removed from the Federal Reserve banks and rent-a-cops had been brought in. So this is a confirmation of what you had told me. Then I had another source who is a private investigator who has a lot of contacts with federal law enforcement officials. He was told by a senior federal agent in mid-June that federal law enforcement and intelligence agencies were preparing for a major event that would happen in 90 to 120 days, okay, that would involve panic. And he said the federal agent was genuinely concerned. He was a Christian man. He was genuinely concerned about the preparations that were being made. Okay? So there's another confirmation.
And this was said, again, when, Rick?
He was given this information in mid-June, and he was told it would be 90 to 120 days out. So, you know, you're looking at July 15, August 15, September 15. That's 90 days. So mid-September to mid-October. So that takes us out to that timeline. Okay, now let's look at the other things we have coming up this fall. Economically, the European banking system is teetering on collapse. I'm expecting to hear within the coming month or so that first, I think Greek banks will go under, and the Greek government is going to default. And it's going to bring down major banks in France, Germany, and Italy. Italian banks are in great trouble right now. The Italian government is in trouble. Germany's not going to bail out Italy. Germany is balking at bailing out any more countries without getting collateral. In fact, Finland has informed Greece, we are not going to give you any money unless you give us collateral, which means hard assets owned by the Greek government, like islands. So we got a financial crisis coming up very soon. About a week ago, the Daily Telegraph in London quoted a European banker as saying that we were about 2 to 3 weeks away from a financial crisis unlike anything we've ever seen. That was a week ago. Okay, so now we have September 11, the 10th anniversary is coming up on what day? 11/9/11/11, in a very short time. And today's August 30th, September 11th anniversary, the 10th year anniversary is coming up. We also have on September 20th, at the United Nations, the Palestinians are going to declare their statehood. The Israelis are bracing for pandemonium. Israeli snipers have been given the orders to shoot Palestinians in the legs who come across the border to claim their land. Now today, it's reported that Israel has moved warships into the Red Sea, and Iran checkmated them by moving warships and submarines into position. And we also have, Nathan, on September 17, what's called the Days of Rage, in which the American communists are planning to do massive sit-ins and disruptions in Wall Street. And it gets crazier after that, because we haven't talked about the comets, two comets and an asteroid.
Right.
And the day that the asteroid comes in, what is it, YU-55, it comes in late, it's going to whiz past the Earth late on November 8th, early November 9th. Guess what FEMA's doing on November 9th? A nationwide test of the emergency broadcast system.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the emergency alert system, and it's going to last for 3 minutes. I've never in my lifetime seen anything like this. I mean, I can remember the 1962 Cuban Missile Crisis when the Earth stood still wondering if we were going to nuclear war. I don't recall anything like this. There's going to be a 3-minute simultaneous test of the emergency alert system on every radio and television station, every cable network, on Sirius, XM satellite, on all the satellite channels, everything. Oh, and Nathan, and they're evacuating they're going to have to evacuate the International Space Station in September.
Yeah, what is that, Rick?
Because the rocket that was supposed to take supplies to them blew up. And, you know, Obama shut down NASA and turned it over to the Russians. And then the Russians, their rocket blew up. And now there's no way to get food and supplies to the astronauts. But isn't it interesting that it's in the month of September they're going to evacuate the space station?
All these things are happening next month, Rick.
It's a weird, weird time.
I have that story about Israel. I printed it out right here. It said Iran to send the 15th fleet to the area. Now, what does that consist of?
Well, I know it's got a warship and a submarine. I don't know what else is in it, but it's a fleet. But we're talking about at least one submarine and at least one warship, plus all of the accompanying naval vessels that go with a fleet. But and on top of that, Deb Kefal is reporting that Russia and the EU, and let me think who else was involved, a delegation of Arab nations delivered an ultimatum last night to Syrian President Assad, and they said, get your act together or else, and meaning stop, you know, call off the snipers, stop shooting the citizens that are protesting. And Deb Kefal is reporting that Turkey and Saudi Arabia are going to jointly invade Syria.
Didn't your guest last week, Rick, didn't he say in order to control the Middle East, you have to destroy first or disrupt the Middle East?
Who said that?
Your guest, I believe you had him last week. I don't remember his name. Gloom and Doom Report.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he said that.
Mark Faber?
Yeah, Mark Farber. Faber, yeah.
Faber, yeah.
Yeah, in order to control the Middle East, first you have to create chaos in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm. The New World Order, which is really, this is what we have taking place right now, is literally, this is right out of the book of Daniel. And Libya is being brought into subjection, just as the book of Daniel says it will happen. It mentions Libya. Libya is being brought into subjection. And this New World Order, which is the beast, this is the fourth empire of Daniel's prophecies of the book of Revelation. This thing is rising up. But there has to be a war. They have to have a reason to attack Iran. They need an event. They need something that is so horrific that the world will gasp and say, okay, you got to do it. You got to go after it. Iran is crazy. This is insane.
Rick, there's so many ways that this thing could play out, and I believe you even had him as a guest. I talked about him last week. Congressman Roscoe Bartlett is trying to warn about an EMP attack coming to America.
Roscoe has tried to warn America since he was elected to Congress in 1992, and I worked in his very first campaign, and Roscoe campaigned for me when I ran for the Maryland State Legislature in 94. Roscoe is a scientist. And he has been on this, he has been a one-man band about EMP dangers.
It's a very legitimate threat, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And how ready is the general population to go back to 1875 right now?
They're not. No one is prepared for what could happen. And also, hey, several weeks ago, WorldNet Daily translated an Iranian news article. I think the newspaper is called Kaylan, K-A-Y-L-A-N, and they did a translation of the editorial, and it essentially said, it was talking about Stuxnet, and it said, you know, America, you're not the only one that can do these things, and we're about to teach you a very hard lesson. And a lot of people interpreted that editorial as saying an EMP attack is coming.
Well, that's what I just find real interesting. You know, Rick, after I did my program last week, I got inundated with emails from individuals that God has been showing them and showing them missile-type dreams and dreams of attack. And I believe you likewise also get some emails from your listeners. God's warning his remnant right now that the days are perilous and things are coming. He's trying to get us ready.
Not only is he trying to get us ready, he's trying to get us going. We've got to preach the gospel of the kingdom. We have to be proactive. We can't have a mentality that we've got to stockpile everything and run to the hills. Who goes into all the world and preaches the gospel? There has to be a glorious church that says, I'm going out there in the middle of this stuff, and I'm preaching Jesus Christ.
Amen. Well, that's a different mentality than the hiding under the rock mentality.
That's right. You go out into it under the blood of Jesus Christ. Somebody has to preach the gospel of the kingdom in all the world.
Okay, so from that condition where someone can do that, we're talking about someone that has the victory and they've overcome and they've processed and they've done a lot of soul searching, et cetera. They're there. But then when we go backwards to where a lot of people are right now, Rick, a lot of people are broken. They're scared. They don't know what to do. So between the two points, there's a lot of homework to be done. And that's what I try to talk about on this program. But it's not easy, is it, Rick? Because, you know, I have a lot of listeners that are feeble and they're poor and they're scared and they're concerned about their family members. And there's a lot going on and God is working on his church right now. But I just want people to have hope that even though that we're going through purging, he still has us in his hand, in his grasp. Can you address that in the last few minutes that we have?
That's right. The main thing is that we focus not on the events, but on the end. The end is New Jerusalem. What is important is the condition of your heart and whether you are ready to meet God today. What if you are in New York City and an event like this does happen? There is no guarantee you are going to physically survive it. You may die. I've come to that place of realizing, you know what? A lot of Christians are going to die. Nathan, Damascus gets destroyed. It is going to, Damascus, Syria, will be reduced to a pile of rubble. There are hundreds of thousands of Christians in the city of Damascus. What's going to happen to them? They're going to go meet God. That's what's going to happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to go meet Jesus. We have got to get the church not focused on, do you have enough beams and bullets, but do you have enough Jesus in your heart?
Amen.
That's where we're at right now. We got to stop worrying about our survival and start focusing on living forever with Jesus Christ. And I'm not going to be frightened by, you know, you and I have had a lot of conversations over the years, and there have been times I just wanted to pack up and get out of here. It's like, I can't take this stuff anymore. But something's changed in me this past year, Nathan, and I've come to the place where I am going to finish the race. I'm going to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And I joke, I say, look, if I get beheaded, I hope my head lays on the ground and my mouth keeps preaching. And everybody gets freaked out and runs away. I mean, I want them to say, that was the strangest thing I ever saw. They cut that preacher's head off, and he just kept on preaching.
Wow.
We got to have an attitude here of victory.
Amen. Okay, Rick, thank you so much for coming and sharing your thoughts. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Rick Wiles from TrueNews.com. Check him out. He has a daily broadcast. You know, folks, as Rick was talking about before our time ran out with him, how true is it that we need to have the victory in our salvation? We need to be firmly grounded in Christ. We need to have our souls washed, folks. My friends, Rick was right. We should not be having the mentality of defeat right now, but we should have the mentality of victory and of confidence in God, of faith. Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? I want to see that kind of faith and victory in your heart, where the fruits of the Spirit just radiate from the people of God, where the peace and the love and the joy drips off of the remnant of God, and where a graceful, encouraging word in due season is ready to be spoken from the lips of the remnant of God. Folks, that's what I want. That's what I'm after. And I want to see that for you as well. It can only be accomplished by those that are willing to plug into God and seek God with all of their hearts. I know that there are probably many, many listeners right now. Some of you have at one time been at a place with God where you were a lot closer to him. Your faith in him was a lot stronger. But then over the years of living in Babylon, I know that things happen, folks. I know that events happen to people. I know that while we're busy making plans, life happens. I know that discouraging things do happen. We have people that betray us. We have relatives that hurt us. Things happen, my friends. And because of those things happening, a lot of times the faith of God's people gets shaken. And unfortunately, at times, the response and the reaction is to walk further away from God, to dwell a little away from the path along the edge of the hedge. And I get emails from some of you, and I've read your stories. And you tell me, Nathan, I used to be strong, and now I'm not. I used to be close to God, and now I'm not. Things happened. And you tell me about some of your struggles that are very sad. And you know what, folks? Those are legitimate stories that you have. And the unfortunate thing about some of those stories is that some of you have found yourself alienated from God, and you've looked back at your life and you've wondered how you got where you are, and you don't like it because it's lonely now, because the intimate beauty of your relationship with God has diminished and grown cold. You don't like it anymore, my friends. I want you to know that Jesus loves you. He cares about you, and he wants to see you restored with him. He wants to see your life turned around. He wants to see you strengthened. He wants to see your faith restored. God is able to do that, my friends. He loves you. He's our shepherd, and he cares about you. No matter what's happened in your life, God can restore. In addition to those of you that may have wandered away from the path, there are others that are on the path, but your lamp is still dim. Some of you don't know why. Some of you are trying to find out why. Some of you are dealing with why. But we're all at different levels, my friends. And as Brother Rick was saying, that we should have victory, and we need to get to the place where we're not afraid to lay down our lives. We're not afraid to give up our last breath. We're not afraid to go on with the cloud of witnesses, our forefathers, our relatives, and those that have been there before us. We need to get to that place, my friends. And that's my prayer for you. I want to say real quick, for those of you that may not have been blessed by the sermons of Watchman's Cry Ministries, you can go to my website at watchmanscry.com, and you can listen to the messages that I have in there. There's a link that says audio, and if you click that link, you will be taken to many of the audio sermons that I have put up over the years. The intention of these sermons is to bless and to help nourish and challenge those of you that are hungry. Well, it looks like we're out of time. My friends, I love you, and I want to see you strengthened in God. So please continue in your walk. Those of you that are lost, those of you that have strayed, he's waiting for you, my friends. If these messages are a blessing to you, and if they're encouraging to you, and if they feed you, and if you could see the benefit of them, we appreciate your support, because through your support, we're able to continue. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website and contact us there. Well, my friends, it looks like we're out of time. Stay safe, stay vigilant, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
The light of